Salam alaikum svima vama.
He was trying to give that down.
Allah.
Hopefully Morgan Freeman, he hears your story.
I'm just in time to hear what Muslims believe is one of the most beautiful sounds in the world. The call to prayer.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Who would think someone would go from watching The Prince of Thieves?
It says you stole the bread.
It's a lie.
It's with Morgan Freeman. You know Morgan Freeman, who said the most beautiful sound they'd ever heard was the adhan.
One of the most haunting and beautiful sounds in the world is the Muslim call to prayer.
And playing a Muslim in that actual film. And then my next guest goes to playing Salahuddin Ayyubi as a non-Muslim building masjids. Now the story gets even more exciting from there, where he ends up where we're here right now. He's here with me right now, where he did something amazing, truly amazing, 6 months ago. We're going to learn all about it on this episode of The Dean Show. And we're going to give a special invitation to Morgan Freeman, who said the most beautiful sound that he ever heard was the adhan. We invite him to the most beautiful way of life out there with a special invitation to him during this program. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Dean, The Dean Show. This is The Dean, The Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
How are you doing?
Brother, yeah. Good.
So we're here in Bosnia.
Yes.
And the name of this masjid is?
Sharifa Jamia. And I wanted to say, volim svu svoju braću I sestre u Bosni, salam alaikum svima vama. And also salam alaikum to the whole world.
You just wished greetings of peace, assalamu alaikum, and you actually said that in Bosnia. I'm very impressed, and they're going to be also that you actually are learning
yes.
Bosnian.
Yes, yeah. I try.
So let's take it back now. I started off with this Prince of Thieves, where Morgan Freeman, he's actually portraying a Muslim in this
yes,
film.
Yes, yes.
And you were talking about, was this your very first exposure to
no,
Islam?
No, actually, as a child, my parents bought me an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And in there, I also read about Islam. And I don't know how it actually happened, but I just went back to that page and just read it over and over again, and I saw the Qibla. And,
you said it was one page?
Yeah, just maybe two pages, but just one section. Yeah.
So you're reading an encyclopedia, and then there is one, maybe two pages about Islam,
yes.
And you kept going back.
Yes, yes.
After that comes the Morgan Freeman film, is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, as a child, I watched Robin Hood, the Prince of Thieves, and there was a character named Azim, and he was just really amazing, because as a child, I grew up in the West, and everyone was drinking alcohol, but back then already, I really kind of not liked people that were on alcohol, because they were really loud and rough. And then I saw this movie, and there was this character named Azim. He was from he was like Moorish, and he refused to drink alcohol, and I was like, what, wow, why? That made him like really amazing to me. And also at a moment they got into a battle, and he was praying, and he just didn't break his prayer. He just kept on praying and ignoring the battle, and that really amazed me.
And that's from that film now, with Kevin Costner and
yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
So Morgan Freeman, he's portraying the Muslim in there.
Yes.
And he's like, doesn't want to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
He's praying, they're battling, and that's really
yes.
impressing you. I noticed one part, because I was trying to figure out what's the angle of this film, because I saw that they were kind of like, it was Kevin Costner, and they were, someone was like, they were chopping off hands,
yeah.
and the guy's like, oh, yeah. for bread or something.
Cut off the infidel's hand. No, I took the bread.
That's not true.
They're not interested in the truth.
Yeah.
And we know that's not. No one's going to chop your hand because
yeah.
you took some
yeah.
bread, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, what's the angle? But what impression did you get after watching this film?
Well, because I was, like, really young, I don't really, how do you say that? I have a good memory of everything that happened in the movie, but I only kept the good parts.
So those are the two good parts.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman, the Azeem, his name is, he's Azeem. Staying away from alcohol.
Yeah.
And then the other part is in the back. He's still praying. He's still
kept praying. And Robin Hood, he was fighting some soldiers of the sheriff. And he just kept praying. And he was like, Azeem, where are you? Come. And he just kept praying. And I thought, like, wow, he's like next level. That's how it felt.
What religion were you at that time?
Christian.
You were telling me about when you'd go to church that at one point you liked the stories of some of the prophets or whatnot.
Yeah.
What were you saying? But something disconnected.
Yeah,
what was that?
I just as a child, I couldn't believe like that a man could be a god. And just how could like God die, but he can't die because they say he's all powerful, but still he died. So probably I lost interest in the religion because of this.
That was a disconnection.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people, they reject this. It goes against with the Islamic term, the fitra, the natural way to make God into a man, a human being. Jesus, we love him as a messenger, as a prophet, like Moses, Abraham, and all the other prophets. Muhammad, peace be upon him, being the last and final messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is something that your fitra, you rejected.
Yes.
God being a man is Jesus.
Because they kind of claim they have, it's called Tawhid.
Tawhid, pure, absolute
they
monotheism.
They kind of claim it's Tawhid, but then they have the Trinity, and then it's like, you have to choose either this or that, and then,
What about Jesus dying for your sins?
It's also weird, because I'm only accountable for my own sins.
Mm-hmm.
Why would someone else die for your sins?
So you understood this just even before becoming a Muslim. This was just something that just logically...
You're
putting together. That didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Morgan Freeman. When you mentioned this film and him, it had me thinking about when Morgan Freeman, he was doing a documentary and he's quoted as saying, and if we could find this clip, we'll play it.
One of the most haunting and beautiful sounds in the world is the Muslim call to prayer.
Where he's saying the most beautiful sound that he heard was the sound of the adhan, the call to prayer.
True, yes. I think he even tried it to do it.
Morgan Freeman also tried. You saw that. He was trying to give that adhan.
Allahu Akbar. Adhan.
I want us to also, hopefully, Morgan Freeman, he hears your story, because he's at ripe old age of 87, we could die before. We don't know when it's written for us, but if we go by age, I mean, he's about to check out, so he's 87 years old.
Yeah.
So if he listens to this story, we invite Morgan Freeman to really, because not only, and these are the signs, like, look at this, like Morgan Freeman, he goes from visiting a Muslim country, before that, playing Azeem in the film, a Muslim.
Yeah. Actually playing a Muslim.
Yeah, and then he goes later to... talking about the most beautiful sound he ever heard was the adhan, right?
Yeah.
And also, he obviously knows what Islam somewhat is now.
Yeah.
And he's going to hear more from when we're talking about it here with your story. So not only can Morgan Freeman learn, but the rest of the audience of your journey. So you take it from there and you're playing Salahuddin Ayyubi now, the freer of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes, there was this game I used to play as a kid. It's called Age of Empires, and you can actually, it's a real-time strategy game, and you can actually play as Salahuddin Ayyubi. And it's about this conquest, and in this game you can also build villages, and you could also build mosques. And I don't know why, but I really like to build mosques.
Out of all things you could have been building, you just find yourself playing the character of Salahuddin Ayyubi, and you're building masjids, mosques in this game. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so we can see the pattern here. So we see from the first step here, rejecting the concept of God being a man, to encyclopedia actually being drawn into some of the basic teachings of Islam from just that one page, and then moving along to the film. Now we're here at the game. What happens next? You go ahead and you... Is this the time when you meet a Chechen?
No, it's a bit later. I graduated from high school and I had one Chechen guy in my class, and he invited me over to a barbecue. to celebrate that we got graduated.
That's where you met the church in now?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there, his father, he was the first person that gave me dawah.
Okay, so now this friend of yours, his father is educating you. He's giving you dawah.
Yes. It's the first true real person that really came with the message.
What do you remember from that conversation?
But what I do remember is his sincerity.
Yeah.
And the way he spoke and his mannerisms.
Yeah, you were telling me you were at a ripe old, you were at a young age around 17 or something. So you're there physically, but mentally you're somewhere else.
Yeah. Next is just a really strange kind of loophole. I always had to cycle quite a distance to school. And I always used to listen to MP3 music. And I don't know how it happened, but I just found some nasheeds and also a few music tracks from Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam now. And he's also a revert.
Some of his old stuff.
Yes, some of his old stuff.
A is for Allah, nothing
A is for
but
Allah. And Tala al-Badru.
Yes.
Also, I really listened to it. I cannot even recall how many times.
Yeah.
And I just loved it so much, but I didn't know. I wasn't like planning to become a Muslim or something like that, but I just loved it really a lot. Yeah.
So from Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens, the former musician, and then he started to make some nasheeds long ago. You can see the power of that ended up affecting you. It didn't have all the musical instruments or anything, and it was just his voice, and he was saying, A is for Allah, nothing for Allah. You find yourself listening to that.
I loved it. I loved it so much.
So much,
I still listen to it, by the way.
And then there was another very, very famous nasheed. Maybe someone can go ahead and translate it. I think in the comments, we'll go ahead and play this real quick. This is one of the nasheeds also? You just randomly found yourself listening to these nasheeds.
Yes.
So I don't know if, for our audience, I don't know if this is, if this is a translation, this is one of the comments here. Allah, today I feel helpless, but I know you're always by my side. For this, I'm grateful to you, Allah. I don't know if this is a translation, but you didn't obviously know the meaning, but it's something about Allah. And so what are you thinking? Like, okay, we have these random events. Are you connecting the dots yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Not at all. Mm. Next, I actually get to know some Muslims, but they were not really practicing. So, but still they taught me some things. Like eat with your right hand, and what else? Don't eat pork.
So you met some Muslims not really practicing.
Yes, not practicing.
Some were even getting high. Is that the ones?
Sadly.
Or these other ones? Okay, so you got some, you know, smoking the marijuana or whatever the case, but they're telling you to eat with the right hand.
Yes.
And what else?
Just things like to respect your mother.
Oh, good. These are good qualities now, obviously. Were they praying? How did you know they were not really practicing?
One was not
besides the smoking of the dope.
One was not praying at all, and one was praying occasionally, but just really
very rarely.
So I've seen him praying, and I already thought, like, wow, that's...
But it has.
I was mesmerized by
it. Still had, when he would pray, it had some kind of an effect on you?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I was really like, what is this? Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah?
And maybe secretly I thought, I also want to do this.
Yeah?
Yeah. But the distance was still way too large.
Too long of a jump now. Okay, this is a point. You see, like, you got Muslims who shouldn't be smoking and stuff, but still, the teachings of Islam, some are there being respectful to your parents, prayer occasionally, but this is important. You see, a lot of Muslims... scared to pray. Some, not all, obviously. You see a lot of praying here, but some, you know, maybe they're ashamed. Muhammad went from Muhammad to Mo, right? Mm-hmm. He's scared what someone's going to say, but you can see the impact of the prayer just on you and them occasionally praying.
Yeah.
So pray, because it connects other people, the people like yourself. Yeah. Your fitrah is calling, your innate nature. Like, man, I want to do that possibly,
The problem in the Netherlands is that a lot of people... they don't dare to pray after they sin because they are being called hypocrite by others that also sin.
Oh.
Well, actually, they should just pray and always, never leave the prayer.
Absolutely. So, okay, so now we got another situation here. You're meeting some Muslims, kind of giving you some dawah, yes. Eat with the right hand, all right? Anything about the pure monotheism, tawhid, anything about the... Was there anything about the six articles of faith, the five pillars, worshipping the creator, not the creation, the messenger?
Well, of course, they told me about pilgrimage to Mecca, but okay. That's kind of it, yeah.
Okay. All right, that's another lesson we can take, just knowing how to explain, you know, the basic concepts and principles, the belief system of Islam, very important, very powerful.
Yeah.
And so, but what they did know, they were sharing with you. That's a good thing. Yeah. So what happens next?
I actually meet a revert. Sadly, he also got high quite a lot, but he actually showed me documentaries, and then I also got to know Yusuf Estes.
Yeah.
Yusuf Estes, hello. Assalamu alaikum, Yusuf Estes. I really admire you, and you're truly one of the greatest reasons I also took my shahada.
Alhamdulillah. You went from learning all these things, and then you were telling me you went through another phase of now exploring some
spirituality, kind of like Buddhism and Hinduism.
That's your background, right? Sri Lanka is also Christian, yes, and also yes. A lot of Buddhist.
Yeah, yeah.
Primarily Buddhist majority.
So of course it's like appealing.
Yeah.
But eventually even God became like little periods, really shameful period of atheism. And then...
you even dabbled in atheism.
4 years. Or so.
4 years. You got to a point, you're like, I don't believe in anything.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I can imagine what happened there. That's kind of just like trying to shut your conscience off so yes. You can just explore and do whatever you yeah. want. So you don't feel yeah. guilty about it. Is yeah. that what you think what it is?
Yes.
What does spirituality mean to you at that time? What did that mean? Because to me, yeah. it's a whole lot of nothing. Like yeah. it's just a empty slogan, really.
Yes. Yeah.
Spirituality, okay.
It's like, empty slogan, definitely.
Yeah?
Just trying to create an identity or to put some answers to question marks, but... The answers didn't come, of course.
Did you find yourself asking the question, what is the purpose of life?
Yes.
Why am I here?
Yes. Like, for me, it was like, I always felt there was something, but I just couldn't explain it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I tried to find it, but...
So how did you come out of this atheism trap now, that you fell into?
One of my best friends, he actually got into Christianity.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the back of my mind, I always knew that Islam is the fulfillment of the word of Abraham, alayhi salam. And Christianity, it's an attempt to actually put it to practice, but they failed. And I told my friend, if you're interested in Christianity, then you should pick... I said that, well, I didn't do it myself. I said, then you should actually pick Islam because it's the fulfillment. And then... From that moment, it took me maybe a few days. I got back to watching videos of Yusuf Estes and Zakir Naik. And before I knew it, it was like a bullet in a gun. Boom! I just kept on reading and watching things on YouTube. Your show, of course.
Alhamdulillah. You tell this Christian friend of yours, Islam is the fulfillment now.
Yeah.
It's the completion, like the Old Testament, New Testament, Islam, the Quran is the last and final testament sent to mankind.
Yeah.
And where are you at now in this stage, after you tell him this? How much later until you end up in Bosnia? And you didn't end up in Bosnia once, twice.
Twice.
Tell us about the first time and then the second time.
Okay, so we both really got into Islam and we thought, let's go to a place where they have like an Islamic majority. And it could either have been Turkey or Bosnia, but Bosnia is a bit more nearby, so we went to Bosnia.
Yeah.
We came here in Sarajevo and we took an Islamic tour. It was called Islam Tour. But the tour was just about architecture and a little bit about the history, how Islam came here. So we felt really dissatisfied. And
very important point here.
Yeah.
So the tour was called...
Islam Tour.
Islam Tour. So it was Islam Tour, but more about architecture.
Yeah, like mosques and wakuf.
But no dawah in there.
No.
Okay, so this is good for anybody from the tourism industry or from there. If it's a tour called Islam,
yeah.
Explain Islam.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you were disappointed in that, huh?
Yeah, very disappointed.
So go ahead, continue on.
So we felt quite disappointed, and my friend, he actually wanted to get a perfume at a perfume shop. And there was a man, he was doing calligraphy, and he also put calligraphy on his bottles.
Yeah.
And I thought calligraphy, he must be quite deep into Islam, else he wouldn't be doing calligraphy. So I asked him, do you know anything about Islam? Could you tell me something about it? And he was like, right away, I'm working now, but come back after I close off, and then I'll take you to the mosque. And there you will meet my friend. So we got together, and we went to the mosque. But before we went actually to the mosque, saw people praying outside. And I don't know what I was feeling, but I kind of tried not to cry. Once we got here in this exact mosque, I had this feeling again. And once I actually entered there, I wasn't like really crying, but tears were just coming, rolling over my eyes. And I just don't know, it's really, really unexplainable feeling. Like, and then they actually let us participate in the prayer. And I had a few more tears.
But you didn't take Shahada yet?
No.
No?
No.
You're just having this feeling from now, just being around the mosque and watching Muslims pray, and they're explaining Islam to you, and you just find yourself just tears coming down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We finished the prayer, and actually saw his friend. And I expected just a friend of his age, because the man of the perfume shop, I think he was around 30 years old. But it was an older man. And he had the sweetest face ever. They call it something like Noor in his
Noor,
face.
Yes.
I start crying again. Just not like loudly, but just with tears, you know, rolling over my face again. And he gave me a hug.
Just emotional now.
Yes. And then he took us to this exact spot. And they spoke about Islam. And I refused.
You refused to take Shahada?
Did
they invite you to take Shahada, to accept Islam?
Yes.
But you, at that time you said...
I refused, I was afraid, or I don't know what happened.
Okay.
And it was actually this spot, right here.
We're doing the interview, right here.
Yes. So I left. And this is like the worst, probably the worst period of my life, because I went back to the Netherlands, and I felt so bad about that I didn't take it. Already after leaving the gate here, I already felt bad, like I did something wrong.
Then so right away, you went from feeling really good, that emotional feeling, it was a good feeling, was it?
Yes.
Then the invitation was given to you, you rejected it, you started feeling right away the opposite?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Really bad. And that was at August, and then we came back at April during Ramadan. And
so this is your second trip now?
Okay. Yes. And then I kind of already knew what I had to do to take the Shahada. So I on the day I came here, I didn't take the Shahada because we came quite late here, and I thought like it's not a good moment. So I wanted to take it the day after. I texted this brother, can I come to the mosque? Can you take me? Because I didn't know you can just go by yourself or do Shahada anywhere, you know? So, and he said like, no, I have to take my family to iftar. And we have to drive a very long way, so I cannot take you. And I completely panicked. Like, my heart was beating like crazy, and I just didn't know what to do. And I said, please, please, can you take me, please? I really have to do it. I really have to, you really have to take me. And he was like, okay, fine, I'll take you, but you have to be really quick. You have to come to the tram tracks and just quickly get into my car. So we were there, and he was like really rushing, and he just opened the door like, come on, get in. And I got in, and I thought, okay, fine, he's going to take us to the mosque. But he was picking up his mother-in-law and his son. So they also got into the car, and I was sitting there, and I was almost unable to talk. Even now, I just went the feelings coming back to me. And he just drove us here to the mosque, and I got out, and I didn't tell him I wanted to take Shahada, by the way. And I just came here to the spot here, there, and I saw the older man again, and he was like, hey, how are you?
Same older man, the same.
Yes. Man. And I just couldn't, even now the feelings coming a bit back, I just couldn't talk anymore. And I said to him, I want to take my Shahada right now. And I took my backpack and I threw it on the ground, and also the my jacket, my coat. And I was shaking. I was like, I want to take shadow right now. And he said, do you want to go to some place quiet? I said, like, no, no, I don't want to. I want to do it right now. And then I took my shahada and I just cried, and it's unbelievable. I cannot describe the feeling, really.
For people who are wondering, the not yet Muslims, non-Muslims out there, like, what are they talking about, shahada? For our friend Morgan Freeman and others who are out there who will get this message, and particularly because he played, Morgan Freeman played Azim in the film, we're extending an invitation to Morgan Freeman, inviting him to Islam, to explore it and to accept what you did, that shahada, that giving birth to what's already inside every human being. And now you just got to uncover that treasure and it can give birth to it, come out, is the shahada, declaring that there's nothing worthy of worship, nothing in the universe, nothing on the earth, except the one who created the universe, the one who created the earth, the one that Jesus worshipped, the one that Moses worshipped, the one that Abraham worshipped, the one that the last and final messenger sent to mankind, called people to worship, the one God, in Arabic, Allah, in Aramaic, Allah, and Muhammad is a slave, is his slave servant and final messenger. And when you say this shahada, you automatically include Jesus as a messenger who came before him, and Moses and Noah and Abraham and David and Isaac and Ishmael and all the other preceding messengers, because they were all in a line of messengers who brought the same message. Submit your will, not to your desires, not to a human being, not to a saint or an idol or a dead person in the ground or Jesus or Muhammad or anybody, but submit your will to the one God. So what would you say to Morgan Freeman now? He's getting to hear your story, God willing, and others out there who are kind of on the fence. They've also investigated others who are just maybe dabbling into this and that. What would you encourage them to do?
I would encourage them
read the Quran.
Not try to understand everything with their minds, but try to listen to your heart. Because if you listen to your heart, then you will definitely want to see shahada, because it will just empower you and make you, whole again. Everything will just feel right, like all the puzzle pieces will fit together and you will feel complete.
Did you see at the end everything from the first moment, the encyclopedia, reading the one page or two pages, that one page in the encyclopedia about Islam, and then the film, the prayer, the staying away from alcohol, and that film, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Morgan Freeman, and then moving on to Salahuddin Ayyubi, building masjids, and then listening to the Nasheeds, and then the Chechen brother actually explaining Islam to you, and then the Muslims getting high, explaining, you got all these different signs, and some people educating you, some people sharing different experiences with all this stuff, the movie, the film, the game, and everything. All of a sudden, boom, it all comes together.